Hi there, foodies. This is Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you're listening to the Foodie Pharmacology Podcast. I was super inspired to cover this particular edible plant in today's episode based on some of my recent travels to Barbados and Guatemala. In both countries, I encountered some delicious varieties of this tropical fruit, ranging both in a spectrum of size and flavor. Back home in the U.S., I often buy this fruit from an international market where I can purchase large flats of it. It is an incredibly flexible ingredient, useful in sweets like homemade pies or ice cream, or even in savory dishes, ranging from salsas to salad toppings or chutneys. It's also delicious when paired with fish or pork, or really just any kind of meat. I also love to eat it fresh. When it's dried, it makes for an amazing snack to bring along for an afternoon hike. In addition to its versatility from snack to main dish ingredient and even to desserts, it also presents some excellent nutritional and even medicinal properties for your plate. Perhaps that is why it's called the king of fruits. Are you hungry for more? I am. Let's dig in. In our 14th episode on the show, we're going to investigate a tasty member of the poison ivy family. You heard me right, the same family that produces plants that poison, including poison ivy, poison oak, and poison sumac. However, this family is also where we can find some tasty treats. Historically, this stone fruit-bearing tree has been cultivated in tropical regions spanning India, Africa, Asia, and Central America, although it has recently been introduced to Europe as well and is cultivated in the island of Sicily, located in the southern part of Italy. This tree is native to tropical Asia and has been cultivated on the Indian subcontinent for over 4,000 years, where it has also played a key role in Ayurvedic medicine. Do you know which medicinal and food plant I'm talking about? If you guessed the mango, you'd be right. In traditional medicine, different parts of the mango tree, such as the fruit pulp, fruit kernel or seed, leaves, and stem bark, are all used in various preparations for their health properties. For example, decoctions prepared by boiling the mango seed in water are used for the treatment of bleeding hemorrhoids, diarrhea, and as a vermifuge, in other words, to remove intestinal worms. A tea of the stem bark is also used to treat diarrhea, as well as treating fever, stomach ache, and ulcers. The scientific name of mango is Mangifera indica, and it is a member of the Anacardiaceae family. The mango is an evergreen, fast-growing, and long-lived orchard tree with perennial leaves that are dark green, pointed, and shiny. The mango inflorescence occurs in panicles consisting of about 3,000 whitish-red or yellowish-green flowers. In tropical regions, the trees can reach up to 30 to 40 meters in height, while in subtropical areas, the growth rate is consistently much less. Today, mango is cultivated on an area of approximately 3.7 million hectares worldwide, and its fruit occupies the second position as a tropical crop, coming behind only bananas in terms of production and acreage used. Overall, world production of mango results in approximately 42 million tons of fruit produced each year. I mentioned earlier in the show that I had encountered different varieties of mango on my travels between the Caribbean and Central America. But those were actually just a few out of the literally hundreds of different varieties that are cultivated across the globe. The mango fruit cultivars can range in size and weight, the smallest mature fruits starting at 150 grams and the largest reaching around 750 grams. The mango fruit's outer peel, also known as the exocarp, is smooth and is green in unripe mangoes, but depending on the variety in question, it can turn golden yellow, crimson red, yellow, or even orangish red when it's ripe. The endocarp, or the part that you find inside of the mango skin, is a large ovoid oblong core that contains a single seed. The mesocarp, or the edible fruit pulp, is orange yellow in color. The flavor of mango can also vary depending on the type of cultivar being grown, but typically it is a rich, pleasant flavor with a sweet to mildly tart taste on the tongue. Besides being eaten as a fresh, ripe fruit, mango is also processed in a number of really interesting ways. This can include preparations as chutney, pickles, or curries, or it can also be dried, pureed, the nectar juiced, the slices canned, or frozen. In addition to preparation of fresh mango, green mango is also prepared in a number of different ways. Now, all of this processing can result in the production of a considerable amount of waste products, and the mango peel is a great example of this. But are the peels really just a waste product, or can they be used for other applications? Well, it turns out that the peels are far from being just a trash waste. Indeed, besides containing a number of health-benefiting polyphenols, vitamins, and carotenoids, mango peels are actually a rich source of dietary fiber, cellulose, hemicellulose, lipids, proteins, enzymes, and pectin. Because of this, mango peel powder is currently being used as a functional ingredient in the creation of many different food products, ranging from bread, biscuits, macaroni noodles, and a number of other baked goods. Now, we know that mango tastes delicious, and it has even been classified as a so-called superfruit because of its phytochemical content. But what is its actual nutritional value? Well, mango pulp is relatively high in caloric content, with 60 kilocalories per 100 grams of fresh pulp weight. It is also an important source of potassium, fiber, and vitamins. Mango is called king of fruits for a reason. Besides its versatility in a variety of different dishes and even in cuisines, it is also the popular subject of art and pop culture. After all, who can forget the classic Saturday Night Live comedic character called Mango? In Miami, where I lived during graduate school, I also discovered one of the city's best food festivals and parades in the community of Coconut Grove. This festival is called the King Mango Strut and has been a local tradition for 37 years now. It prides itself as the weirdest parade in the universe, and locals delight in coming up with a special theme each year, designing floats and costumes for the strut through the grove. I've had so many fun memories of dressing up in goofy clothes and straying along next to statues of a big oval-shaped mango wearing a golden crown and a big smile. So I can definitely concede that it just may be the weirdest parade in the universe. All right, let's get into the pharmacology. So we know that mango is a great source of nutrition, but what about its micronutrients? Well, it is known to be extremely rich in polyphenols, or health-boosting micronutrients. Some of these compounds that are found in the mesocarp of the fruit, or the edible fruit pulp, include compounds like gallic acid, mangiferin, gallotannins, quercetin, isoquercetin, ellagic acid, and beta-glucogalin. The mesocarp also contains carotenoids, which contribute to the orange-yellow color of the fruit pulp, and they offer their own suite of health benefits. Now, whenever I think of carotenoid, I think of carrots, and that helps me to remember the link between the chemistry and the plant color. The carotenoids present in mango include provitamin A, lutein, alpha-carotene, and beta-carotene. One of the polyphenols that I mentioned, mangiferin, is a compound of extreme pharmacological interest. Besides being found in the fruit, it has also been found in the bark, the leaves, and roots of the mango tree. Mangiferin has a xanthone chemical structure and is one of the most potent antioxidants known. Importantly, it is highly soluble in water and can be found in the traditional medicinal preparations of mango parts when made with hot water, either as a tea or a decoction. In addition to its free radical scavenging activity, mangiferin has also shown promising activity in both in vitro and animal studies on the inhibition of carcinogenesis and cancer cell growth by apoptosis induction. Extracts of the bark, leaves, unripe fruits, and stems of mango trees have all demonstrated some degree of antimicrobial activity. Besides these potential medical applications, mangiferin has also found applications in the cosmetics industry due to its antioxidant and UV protectant effects. Besides the single compound mangiferin, mango extracts, composed of many different plant compounds, have also been attributed with anti-diabetic, anti-diarrheal, antioxidant, antimicrobial, cardiotonic, hypotensive, and anti-inflammatory properties. Let's talk about mango allergies. Although it is uncommon, mangoes can cause food allergies in some people. Most allergic reactions are skin rashes that develop whenever there was skin contact with the mango peel. However, some people can even have a severe anaphylactic reaction to mangoes, and in this case, they should avoid eating mangoes altogether. Let's start with an overview of the less severe but still uncomfortable skin reaction. This condition is known as contact dermatitis, and it is the most common allergic reaction that people have to mangoes. Typically, people with this reaction will notice symptoms on the lips and around the mouth, but it can also impact other areas of the body where the mango's skin has had contact with your skin, such as the hands and fingers as you hold or peel the fruit. The degree of the reaction really depends on how long your skin is in contact with the mango tissues. The longer period of contact will yield a faster and sometimes more severe reaction. The skin, rather than the pulp of the fruit, is usually the culprit, and this is because this is where the urushiol is concentrated in the fruit. Many people with mild reactions to mango can still eat the fruit if they are careful to avoid touching the fruit skin. Urushiol is not one single compound, but rather a mixture of compounds that are structurally very similar to one another. In addition to the mango skin, this oleoresin is also found in the sap, stem, and leaf of the mango tree, and this is why the rash occurrence is more commonly reported in people that are involved in mango picking due to skin exposure from different parts of the plant. Urushiol is the same oleoresin responsible for contact dermatitis reactions with other members of the Anacardiaceae family, including poison ivy, poison sumac, and poison oak, which is not actually an oak or a Quercus species, but rather a toxicodendron species. The exact mixture of compounds found in the urushiol plant oil mixture will vary depending on the plant species it is found in. The symptoms of mango-induced contact dermatitis can include redness, itching, swelling, and flaking of the skin. Blisters similar to those of a poison ivy rash may also develop. In some cases, the rash may not occur for 2 days or more, and this is called a delayed type 4 hypersensitivity reaction. Although urushiol can be removed from the skin with soap and water, this must be done quickly, as it is quickly absorbed into the skin within as short a timeline as a span of 10 minutes. Once it has penetrated the skin, removal with water is ineffective. People that develop a skin rash may respond well to low-dose topical steroids or may even require oral therapy. Consult with your dermatologist for treatment of this. Besides a skin reaction, in some cases a more serious reaction can occur, and this may include symptoms of a sore throat, swelling, changes in blood pressure, and difficulty breathing. This is considered an anaphylactic reaction and can require emergency medical treatment. So, what is your favorite way to prepare and eat mango? In addition to eating them fresh or as a tropical salsa, as a side for fish, or served with tortilla chips, I love making mango pies with fresh mango. I slice up the fresh fruit into chunks and toss them with some sugar, some ground cinnamon and nutmeg, grated lemon rind, a pinch of salt, and a shot of dark rum. I then pour the juicy mix into a pie crust, add a lattice layer of pie crust on top, paint on a quick egg wash, and throw it in the oven. It pairs beautifully with vanilla bean ice cream. Yum, yum. Next time on Foodie Pharmacology, I'm going to surprise you with our next ingredient. I'm actually packing up my field gear and leaving for a field research expedition in the Balkans tomorrow. I'll be joining a team of fellow ethnobotanists and a National Geographic photographer team as we venture into the rugged Shari Mountains along the southern border of Kosovo and Albania. We'll be conducting interviews with local people about their wild food and medicinal traditions, visiting some local herb markets, and hunting for plants in the alpine terrain of the region. I'll be posting pictures on my social media accounts throughout the trip, so be sure to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter to get a behind-the-scenes peek at our fieldwork. Now, here's the catch for next week's episode. If you see a plant from my trip that you want to hear more about, let me know. Post a comment on my social media feed, and you may just be the one to pick the next botanical ingredient to be featured on the show. I'm Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you've been listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the podcast for the food curious, recorded in Atlanta, Georgia at the Emory University Center for Digital Scholarship. You can subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes. Spread the word. Tell your friends. If you've got a great idea for a future show, reach out to me and let me know. You can find me on our Foodie Pharmacology Facebook page or on Twitter or Instagram at my Quave Ethnobot account, spelled Quaveethnobot. I'll see you next time.